Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 10th, 2014, and with me today, I have the always exciting Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome that you're here. And also, we have Bob, Dr. Mac Levitas. How are you, Bob?
I'm awesome. I'm awesome, too.
You are incredibly awesome, and it's awesome to have you here.
It's awesome to be here.
And this is where we all sing Everything is Awesome, I believe. Yeah. So this week's sponsor
not
is Smile Text Expander Touch 3, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But first, I wanted to jump into the implosion that is GT Advanced Technologies.
So, well, now you're talking to two major stakeholders in that
actually
company.
How many do you have, Brian?
I 28 shares, $40.
Hey, I'm a big investor. I have $300 worth.
we are big time investors. But I would like to point out that despite the fact that we both made ridiculous gambles on this company, has nothing, no influence whatsoever on what we're going to say. It's true.
And I have no stock in GT Advanced Technologies, so everything I say will just be the usual stuff that just pours from my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So the backstory is GT AT had partnered with Apple about a year ago to be their Sapphire production partner. At the time, we assumed it was for the iPhone and Apple Watch. And when the iPhone 6 rolled out, it did not have Sapphire Glass for its surface.
But
the Apple Watch is supposed to have that. And then on Monday, GTAT filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Apple has since said that they were surprised
by the decision, not necessarily the announcement.
Right. And which implies to me that there's some behind the scenes stuff that we are not privy to. And so the week has progressed, and it's just been looking worse and worse for GTAT each day. And now we get to Friday, and we find that they have filed a motion with the U.S. bankruptcy court.
They being GT Advanced Technologies.
Correct. And they are petitioning the court for permission to shut down the factory where they have been producing Sapphire.
Ouch.
Yeah. So there you go. Now everyone's up to speed, and I'm betting that both of you have some ideas about what's up with all this.
Do we know if anybody else can manufacture this kind of Sapphire, or were they the only game in the world?
No, they were just one of the bigger companies making furnaces.
There are alternatives if this doesn't work out for Apple, because that shapes the way I think about it. Is, you know, this isn't the only game in town. I'm sure Apple has Plan B.
Apple assuredly has Plan B, simply because that's what Apple does.
That's right.
It's fascinating. This particular move, asking the courts for permission to shut down the factory, seems like a really kind of a major in your face move.
It's a fist shake.
If they're trying to actually work things out with Apple. And you would think that they would want to work things out with Apple, because Apple still has another $140 million they could pay him.
Right. And
$139 million.
Yeah, but you know what's a million among friends? And Apple's in the position where they could potentially take back the furnaces and the factory itself. Although if GTAT is in a position where they're like, yeah, we want to shut the thing down, that to me really kind of fits in well with the idea you've had, Brian, that they want out, and they've been trying to find a way to get out from under Apple, and bankruptcy may be the way to do that. And so they may be glad to walk away from the factory and the furnaces.
Yeah, they may be. And I mean, as has been the case with most of this development since the bankruptcy declaration on Monday, the filing, I should say, all we have is speculation. So, I mean,
But it's fun.
There's a lot of unknowns here. This is like a Donald Rumsfeldian moment here.
You mean like someone's getting shot in the face with a? No, not that kind of moment.
That was Dick Cheney.
They all.
No, I was referring to his somewhat infamous statement about there's the things we know, the things we don't know, and the things we don't know, we don't know. And there's a lot of stuff that we don't know, and there's probably even more that we don't know, we don't know. And we've heard that Apple has been trying to help GTAT overcome the problems that kept them from meeting that final last payment. And again, if that's the case, why is GTAT wanting to get the courts to let it shut down the factory? That's I don't know. It seems like it's getting more and more acrimonious.
Yes, I said that before, and I think so. This
I sounds stole that
like
from you.
Well, this sounds like escalating the incident. You know, it sounds like this is in your face, Apple. And before you didn't know. You know, Apple was surprised by the fact that they filed, but they probably had been planning for it. I don't think they were surprised by the filing itself or the announcement of it. I think they were surprised that they decided to take that route. You know, that's how I read that.
Yeah, I did too. They weren't surprised on Monday. They were surprised sometime the previous week or maybe over the weekend when GT said, by the way, we're filing bankruptcy.
Right.
Really? You know, I'm guessing that was the response in the C-suite in Cupertino.
Well, really? It certainly sounds like this is not a friendly breakup. You know, this is acrimonious and looks to be getting worse.
Yeah, but the thing is that the GT Advanced Technologies is still. I mean, they still have other operations. They have other factories that they own. They have other businesses that they supply to. So.
Yeah, they make solar panels or components for solar panels.
You know, you may be right, Brian. They may just be using this as a ploy to get out from their deal with Apple because they can't make money. And you've been saying all along, Apple's very tough to partner with. Maybe they're just throwing in the towel.
Yeah, Apple is tough to partner with, especially if you can't hack it.
Yeah.
You know that's always been the flip side of that argument. A company has to be fired on all cylinders to be able to meet Apple's expectations.
Now, yes, and I've heard people saying, "Well, look, Apple can take back the furnaces; they can take the factory. Now they need are the people to run it." And Brian, you even said, "Well, geez, you know, there's the people from GT Advanced; they could just get them." And Sapphire problem solved. And I agree that could solve the problem. But my concern is that all of this will be tied up in the bankruptcy court for a while. And there will be a window of time where Apple can't start production in that factory. And that window means there are days or weeks where there's no Sapphire being produced. And that could cause inventory constraint issues for the Apple Watch later on.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to predict that Apple petitions the bankruptcy court to do something to protect their interests, which is apparently a stockpile of produced Sapphire and or furnaces and or other stuff. I can't see Apple just sitting back and letting this happen if it's going to hurt them. I think they could go to the court and say, if you let them do that, it will damage us. And we'll have to sue them for the damages. And if they can say, you know, there's a good chance this will cause us damage, irreparable damage, the courts could say, well, okay, they can't shut the factory down then.
Right. Of course, now you have the company operating the factory under duress, so that's not going to be good for anybody either. The whole thing
Apple hasn't really responded to this. I mean, they haven't made a filing of their own that we know of, and I think this could be the trigger. I think at this point, Apple can't just sit there and watch. I think they may have to go protect their investment somehow. So I say next week we hear something from Apple in bankruptcy court.
Right, and one last note: there's a lot of this stuff is apparently covered by confidentiality agreements that that Apple demanded from GTAT, such that GTAT has asked for a lot of its documents to be sealed, lest they be subject to a $50 million fine pursuant to those terms.
Really? That's what was in my non-disclosure from Apple. $50
million. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Just kidding.
So next week we'll see if your prediction comes true, Bob. And before we hit our next topic, I want to talk about our sponsor, Smile, and their product, Text Expander Touch 3 for the iPhone and iPad. You can check it out at smilesoftware.com, and it's a great utility that I use on my Mac and on my iPhone and iPad. And what it does is it lets you take abbreviations that you create, little snippets, and when you type them, they automatically expand out into words and phrases and whatever else you can think of to pack in. And it saves a lot of time typing, and I love that I can synchronize the database of snippets I've created between my Mac and my iPhone and iPad, so I have all the same stuff everywhere I go. And I also like that it's really easy to create new snippets, and since we have the new keyboard support, third-party keyboard support in iOS 8, you can use Text Expander Touch in any application that supports keyboards. And
good stuff.
Yeah, it's really
Yay!
Good stuff. Yeah, and then as of this morning, version 3.1 was released, which added support for some additional languages, Portuguese and Swedish, I believe, and some new options. I think it was for German and Spanish. So that's really cool. So if you're using Text Expander Touch already, there you go. Now you have some more options. Yeah.
And, sweet.
Yeah.
It's been good having them as our first sponsor.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that. So I'll have a link in the show notes, and go check out Text Expander Touch 3. All right. So now the second topic that I wanted to hit is a piece that you wrote, Brian, about Apple's promotion of Apple Watch through Vogue magazine
in China. Yeah, they gave the first cover story, and there's nothing Apple can do if a magazine wants to put Apple on the cover, but if that magazine wants access to Apple, Apple can do everything, right? So, you know, Apple controls who gets its cover stories, who gets access for cover stories at the very least, with an iron fist. And it turns out that Apple is allowing the first cover story for Apple Watch to be on Vogue China,
which is fascinating. And this is on the heels of the big fashion show that they were at, showing off Apple Watch
in Paris.
In Paris, that's right.
Right, right. So all the outlets so far have been fashion outlets, and I think the biggest aspect of this, the most interesting aspect of this, is that, you know, the watch industry is like, yeah, you know, Apple Watch, who cares? You know, it's not a threat to us. The tech industry has been a mix of, well, this is really interesting, and who cares? And in the meanwhile, Apple is approaching this device in a completely oblique fashion, just as they did with the netbooks, by competing with netbooks with iPad. Apple is just coming is pitching the iWatch in places that Apple has never been, and it's really interesting to me.
I find it interesting too, and now I'm wondering how many of these other smartwatch companies or makers are thinking, crap, why weren't we hitting the fashion industry?
Well, because they would have failed.
Well, of course they would have failed. Yeah,
I mean, you know, they weren't making anything. I mean, Apple has, like, all these bands, you know, all these different models, all this stuff, no other company could have, no tech company could have done that.
No. And no other retailer is going to stock all of those variations, but Apple can. You know, nobody's going to put all those different bands and all the different models, give them shelf space. I don't think. I think that's way too much to ask, except for Apple. Apple might be able to do that.
You mean Apple might be able to get third-party retailers to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I can see Macy's having, like, you go in the jewelry counter, the jewelry department, they've got little counters, and each one's dedicated to a brand. I can see Apple being at Macy's and Neiman Marcus and, you know, all the big retailers.
Sure.
In a big way.
That's here in the States.
Yeah, all over the world. I could see this being sold right next to Tag Heuer watches and Rolex watches. I mean, I don't see that Apple, if it were anybody else, they'd have trouble breaking into a new channel like that, but they're Apple. And they have good people. They're hiring retail people like crazy.
And they're hiring people from the fashion industry, too.
Right.
Although
fashion retail. That's what I meant. Fashion retail, not just retail.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, this oblique direction to approach the Apple Watch by hitting fashion outlets first, by hitting the fashion industry first, by actually dealing with the fashion industry on its terms. That is so interesting to me. Not that it's like when we were talking about this before, Bob, you mentioned that you didn't think this was a surprise, and you're spot on with that. But it's super interesting to see it happening, because Apple is this company we've been following, this tech company that we've been following for, you know, for years and decades, some of us, and in particular, you know, you, Bob. And
that's an oblique way of calling me old.
Yes.
No, and you were experienced in the world of covering Apple. And it's interesting.
I think it's interesting, and as I said, not that unexpected based on the way Apple has positioned this product anyway. But what's interesting is it's not out of their playbook. We've never seen them doing stuff like this before.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not surprising, but it's different. And it's certainly unexpected before they revealed what the watch was. Now, I have a question. Do either of you guys have an opinion on what the gold watches are going to go for? I'm trying to think of what they're going to go for, and I see other people predicting, and I go, I don't think they'll be that cheap.
Two to five is my...
Okay. I'm with you, Brian. But I've seen people saying, like, you know, $1,200 or $900. I think the gold in it's worth more than that.
Probably. And I'm not a watch person, and I'm looking at it saying there's no way this could be under $1,000.
$1,200 is what I've seen some guesstimates on the value of the gold, cost of the gold.
Then you're looking at $2,400 minimum for the device.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is, we probably don't really have time to get into this today, but what's interesting about that to me is the fact that other watches in the $2,000 and up category will be exactly as useful 50 years from now as they are when they're bought.
I'm with you. That's the part that I don't get is like, well, here's the thing. Somebody made the good argument that a gold watch 1 year old will be worth almost what you paid for it. I mean, the gold makes it valuable so that somebody else might want it. And if you get rid of them every year and get the new one, you may be able to, you know, for a couple hundred or a few hundred bucks, upgrade to the new one. But I just don't understand how that's going to compete with, you know, $20,000 watches that'll in 100 years will still be working perfectly. Because this is only a one-year watch. You know that after 12 months, they're going to come out with a new model and you're not going to want yours anymore.
3 years, but... But right, I have a feeling Jeff's about some, the yellow.
Whatever it is,
Brian, it's like you could read my mind.
I know.
Yeah, we are so out of time, and I'd love to keep this conversation going. So we'll have to pick it up again later. But yeah, we're out of time. So Bob, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been great having you here.
Thanks. Yeah. It was a pleasure.
And Brian, it's always a pleasure to have you here. It's just not the same without you. And thanks to Smile for being our sponsor this week.
Indeed.
Yeah, everyone rocks. Have a great weekend.